We've been talking, I'm going to get into the message right away here. We've been talking about the presence of the Lord. I felt like that's a theme that God wanted to have us go through. I said we've got a problem in our nation. We've got a problem. We've been talking about this since the pandemic started, and that is that we have, as a nation, have wandered away from God. And that when you wander away from God, you wander away from truth. And when you wander away from truth, you're susceptible to the lies of the devil. And we start believing lies and we start living a lifestyle that is not pleasing, if you will, unto God. And I said that the answer is that America needs a visitation from God. We need the presence, the guiding presence of the Holy Spirit pulsating through the lives of people in America. And that's going to start with Christians, right? We need to bring that visitation. We need to see that visitation. We long for the presence of the living God. And over 2,000 years ago, God's presence in a tangible and physical form in Jesus Christ, His only Son, came to the world. And our drive-through nativity was an attempt to talk about that tangible presence that touched the world when Jesus Christ came. And that's why we have been doing the drive-thru nativity for 15 years. We've been doing that drive-thru nativity for 15 years. Now, there are a few folks who went through the drive-thru nativity who said they had been there since day one and had been through all of them and said, wow, it has changed a lot since day one when we first did this. And that is for sure. Carrie's always changing something. She made us put 9,000 Christmas lights on those two trees out there. She goes, I want to put them on those trees. I go, on those two big ones over there? I go, I don't know that we... And Joe volunteered his lift, and oh my gosh, we put them all up there. She had to rechange all of our the angel choir so it could be COVID safe. It was very interesting. I have to say this, that I feel so very, very, we feel so very, very proud to be the pastors of all of you. We feel so very, very honored that we get to pastor such great people as you all. People that care about Christ, people that care about our community, people that care about communicating the message to our community. And I'll tell you what, it was absolutely incredible this year. We had record numbers on Thursday. We had record numbers on Friday. We had record numbers on Saturday. We put more people through. We were just under 2,700 people who went through that. And it's really all that we can do. It was just jam-packed. Somebody came by and he said, hey, you know you're doing something great if you have to have flaggers in and out of what you guys are doing. And they were lined up all the way down here and down our road here. And it was just absolutely incredible. And I want to thank you all for that. Because it's because of what you guys did. You guys braved the cold out there. It was amazing from the big group that got together and got all of the stuff out of the racquetball court and put it all out here, and the great volunteers that came and assembled and put it all together. And then all of the touchings from the administrative crews and all that we're going through here and looking at it and how can we make it better? How can we tweak it? How can we do this? How can we do that? You know, our goal is to build onto our brown shed down there about the same size of that shed again, or maybe a little bit bigger, so we can house all of the stuff for the drive-through nativity. You know, they say that, you know, you're doing something right as a church. If you weren't there any longer, would they miss you? We had, honest to goodness, almost every other one of the cars that went through said something to the effect of, thank you so much for doing this for our community. What you do for our community is so awesome. Thank you for not letting COVID stop this. We were so afraid that COVID was going to stop this. They were so thankful. This is our Christmas tradition. We do this all the time. We order a pizza and then we get in line and then we got board games and we play board games because it's going to be an hour before we get through it. But you know what? It's worth the hour. I had nobody say, wow, that was a long wait. Everybody said, oh my gosh, it was worth it. The comments such as, fantastic. That was amazing. That was wonderful. That was so much more than what I thought it was going to be. We asked, how did you find out? On Facebook, on friends. It was all over the place. And it was amazing how many folks came because of Facebook. So your posting and stuff like that when you go through and do all that is, I think, very, 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 very important to us. Carrie, what were some of the other comments that were said? We kind of wrote some of them down.
We have all the ornaments on our tree. It was beautiful.
All of them. We've done it for this many years. We give an ornament each year, and so they had them all on their tree.
Thank you for sharing the gospel with a mask. That's the most impressive thing I've ever seen. It's like Jesus Disneyland.
I asked that guy, he goes, like Jesus Disneyland. He goes, I go, did you mind the wait? He goes, hey, it's just like Jesus Disneyland. It's just what you have to do to get through.
Thank you so much for this. People came from Spokane, from Lewiston, Clarkston. I mean, drove all the way just for the nativity.
Bunch of folks from Deary.
It was many, many from Deary. It was phenomenal. Thank you for doing it with everything going on in the world. Such a sweet gift to our community. This is our highlight every year. This is a very important family tradition. It was so moving, so inspirational. This was amazing. I've never seen anything like that in my life, and I have known Jesus forever. One gal came through and said, I cried the whole way through. And then somebody said that they lived in Pullman forever. This is just marvelous. They had no idea this was going on in Pullman for the last 15 years.
They go, how long have you been doing this? 15 years. What? missed it for 15 years?
You guys are like soldiers. And then they said, thank you for being faithful to the community. Thank you all. We couldn't have done it without you.
It was great. It was really awesome. We had our football coach, our head coach, went through. He thought it was absolutely fantastic. You know, we talked to him there, and I said, hey, I'm so sorry about the game getting canceled. That was just such a shame. We've been praying for all of the team. He goes, hey, thank you so much. He goes, but you know what? This right here made up for it. This right here made up for it. Then a few cars later, we had a number of coaches that came through. Then our athletic director, Paul Chun, he came through as well. Pat Chun, he came through as well. So he said, I believe it was him who said, yeah, we got turned away three times. So then we went home and then we came back again. And finally we were able to get in and into the line. So it was just great. And it's all because of you guys out there. You make it what it is. And I just want to thank you. I'm just so humbled. I'm so humbled because we got to tell the story of Jesus Christ to people in such a way that they got to experience it. Oh, they loved baby Jesus. Even nobody knew that baby Jesus was a girl this year. I said, it's always a live baby, but we don't know whether boy or girl. But, you know, the Lord is neither male nor female. He's gender complete. So that's great. So I'm just humbled. I'm humbled that we have the privilege of doing something so unique, so creative. I don't even know how the idea came up. Carrie, who came up with the idea? A number of different people, and I tell you, it's just grown from there. And we have people that call us throughout the year and say, hey, we saw the video on the drive-through nativity. How do we do one of those? Do you have like a manual that you got that we can put together and make this happen? We've had numerous ones of those ask about it because they want to do it in other states that are away. So anyway, how exciting. And we gave each and every person that came through this peace on earth, beautiful ornament that they can put up on their tree. We gave it to one lady when she got it, and she looked at it, and she goes, and she just started to cry. She started to weep, and I said, you know, it's something that we need now, peace on earth. But you know, it can only come one way. It can only come really through Jesus Christ. And if you wouldn't mind standing and reading with me the portion of scripture that we're going to talk about this morning. For there is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Amen. You may be seated. I kind of want to take a look at this, and I want to kind of dissect this a little bit. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. We all long for that, for a real sense of peace, a real sense of goodwill, a real sense of people getting along. I tell you, we'll end a lot of problems that we've seen in the news for men to get along, for men and women, for people, for humanity to get along with one another, to bring peace truly on earth. You know, it's peace on earth. We all long for it. It's what every Miss America says, right? I mean, they got to make sure. Here, we have this little clip.
I would have to say world peace. Definitely world peace.
That's easy.
World peace. World peace.
What is the one most important thing our society needs?
That would be harsher punishment for a parole violator, Stan. And world peace.
Thank you, Gracie Lee.
And thank you, Stan.
Cheryl Frazier from Rhode Island.
World peace. Everybody wants it. But it doesn't seem like anybody knows how to get it. We talk about it all over the place. And man tries to put his thoughts and ideas and tweaks on how can we make that happen. We can legislate it. We can demand it. We can make laws against it. But truly, truly, to have peace, you're not going to have it without Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. I put on our notes here, peace is not just the absence of conflict, but it's the presence of Christ. Peace is not just, we don't have any conflict. Peace, true peace, is when Jesus Christ is in the midst of a situation, in the midst of a circumstance, in the midst of a life, in the midst of a nation, in the midst of a world. If Jesus Christ is in the midst of it, he who is the Prince of Peace brings peace because he is peace. It's the essence of his nature. And if he's living inside of you, he brings that peace to us individually and corporately. And Luke, I want to kind of go back a little bit. We've talked about this last part where we're trying to get to this concept of peace. But let's take a look at this scripture. It's the Christmas story. It's the story we tried to tell throughout as people were driving through. Let's pick it up in Luke chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered." Well, Claudius Augustus ruled from 27 BC to about AD 1400. Jesus was born around, everybody says zero. No, it's kind of a little bit of a misnomer there. Jesus was born about 4 BC. He was born about 4 years before Christ. So it's about where we feel he, on the calendar, is, because they don't have it really downright. But they feel like he was born about 4 BC. And this verse describes a census that was conducted for the purpose of forming tax rolls. They're there to be registered. Registered for what? We want to know who you are so you can pay us taxes. It started way back then, and it started before then, and it continues on today, right? We're from the IRS, and we're here to help you, right? We want to know you because we can tax you. Oh, and we love you too, but we want to tax you. We want to tax you. So That's why they had to go through this. There was a registration for taxes. This census first took place when Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Everyone had to go back to their ancestral city. Not just city that they were living in. For this census, it had to be the city that you were native from. And we'll read further where he was native from, right? Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. So that's where he had to go back, because his roots were back in that city. So he had to go back there to be counted amongst all of them there. Now, Nazareth to Bethlehem is about 70 miles. Now, when you jump in your car and go 70 miles, it probably takes you about an hour and a half. That's not very much. You don't think of 70 miles as very far. As a matter of fact, I mean, going to Hay is almost, you know, it's 40-some miles to Hay. And we have people that come here from Hay, dear, all over the place that maybe not quite go 70 miles, but 70 miles is a doable thing in your car. Now, on foot, it's a whole different story. On foot, it's probably about a three or four day journey to go on foot from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Now, that's if you went through Samaria. That's a direct route going through Samaria. But Samaria was a precarious spot. There was the people didn't really like Samaria that well, and that's a whole other story. But the idea of Samaria, there were a lot of robbers. There was a lot of thievery happening as you went through that. So it was a little dangerous taking the shortcut. So most people would probably go around. That would add a day or so to your journey. And also Mary, you know, she's pregnant, right? I mean, she's just about ready to give birth. And so I think that would probably add a little bit more time to bathroom stops and all of that. So it probably could have taken about a week, maybe 10 days for him to get to Nazareth, down to Bethlehem with Mary in tow here, trying and I just, you know, Carrie, you're cheering me about the settlers when they came over, about the women who were pregnant on the wagons and stuff. They ended up walking, right? Because the wagons were so bumpy and that. So they're walking, these pregnant women walking. I can't imagine what it must be like to be pregnant. I remember when Carrie, I think it was our very first child, she was giving birth and she was overdue for a couple of weeks. And I said, and she was going, oh my gosh, what's this baby coming? I was going to calm her down. And I said, honey, don't worry. God will bring the baby when he wants to bring the baby. Very just. And she looked at me, fine. Do you want to carry it for the last couple of weeks? I said, no way, man. I'm not man enough to be a woman. That scares me. The thing about it is, you know, most men, we'd only have one child because we would remember what happened during that time. If you had one, it would only be one. Women just seem to forget. I thank God for that. So, a trip, an uncomfortable trip, a difficult trip to make in the condition she was in. So, to be registered, it says in verse 5, with Mary, his betrothed wife. I like this word, registered. Now, we're not talking about registered at Bath and Beyond. We're not talking about registered with Macy's or Amazon, because, hey, we're going to have baby. We're going to get married here too. As you know the story, but the idea here is they weren't registering in order to get something. This registration was going to cause them to give something, right? They're going to have to pay their taxes during this time. The verse goes on, who was with child? So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. While she's in Bethlehem, she finally gets there. After all of this problem, she's delivering this baby in a strange place, not her own bed, not her own city, not her own support system, just kind of away, kind of alone, her and Joseph, away from everything that they know, everything that's comfortable, everything that's convenient for them. They're away from all that. And we know the story as it goes on, that they have to deliver in a stable. And you're going, what? You see, the census made it very inconvenient for her. Why would God do that to her? Why would he make it so hard for her? All that way on a donkey, or all that way riding, all that way miserable, feet swollen. You know, I mean, you know, you pregnant during that time, your feet are swollen up, and now you're walking on them. They're just going to swell up even all the more. I just can't even imagine, why would God cause all of this problems for her, also inconvenient, to deliver a child way away from everything else? Well, we know why, because he had to fulfill prophecy, right? I would have looked at Jesus or God and I would have said, hey, why don't you just change, instead of Bethlehem, say he'll be born in Nazareth. That's simple. You can make that a prophecy and that'll work. We'll just make it work for you. No. He was going to be born in Bethlehem as the prophecy goes on. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Talking about Jesus who would come. And I want to make this comment as I look through all of that, all this difficulty, and man, he needed to fulfill this prophecy. He needed to have his will fulfilled, even though it was inconvenient for Mary. And I came up with this thought. Sometimes inconvenient things happen to us to get us to where God wants us to be. Sometimes inconvenient things happen to us to get us to where God wants us to be. Why is this happening to me? Oh, he's just getting you and positioning you right where he wants you. Do you trust him? And that's the thing. I think Mary and Joseph, they had a visitation from an angel, and we don't always get that aspect. We may hear something in our quiet time with the Lord. But they knew that this was what's going to happen, and this was from the Lord, and we're going to go through this. We're going to make this happen no matter how inconvenient it was. I sometimes we say, God, this is not a good time for me. And God goes, so? Don't you care? I care greatly. But I care more about your growth. I care more about what you can handle, about how you can be changed. And I know just what to apply to cause you to change, to become the man or the woman of God that I want you to be. That when you look back, you'll go, oh my gosh. You know, all of our grandparents, oh, we walk to school uphill in the snow both ways. I mean, you hear those stories. And they shape us. They mold us. They give us pluck, determination. They give us an attitude. They give us an appreciation for things. I think God, even though it's inconvenient for you at times, in this crisis, in this pandemic, it's inconvenient, but God is working. He's doing something. The shame will be is if you don't figure out what he's trying to get through inside of you during this time. Learn, grow. Let God do what he wants to during this time. Verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Thank you, Lord, for closing the inn up. I mean, you could have kept one room. There could have been one room somewhere. No. He didn't want that. God wanted his son born in a stable. Wow. Sometimes every comfort is not what God is after in our lives. He's after sometimes something so much deeper. Even his own son. He said, yeah, we're just going to have him born on the dirt. Because there was no room for them in the inn. 2,000 years ago, there was no room for Jesus. And some 2,000 years later, people still don't have room for Jesus yet. I love that song, Prepare Him Room. Verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Shepherds watching out, making sure the wolves don't destroy or hurt their sheep. Shepherds care about their sheep. And here they are, instead of in a hotel room someplace or someplace else, they're out with the sheep, making sure everything is okay. You see, they don't mind getting the smell of sheep all over them. Great shepherds, great leaders don't care about getting the smell of all of their people all over them, because we're all in this together. There's not this, well, we're the clergy and this is, and this is the rest of everybody else down here. No, we're all together in this. There is no separation here. There is no hierarchy here. There's the idea that we're all together in all of this. Enjoying it together. Experiencing it together. Taking pictures together. Reminiscing together. But I do have to say something about the shepherds here. Shepherds would not have been in the field in December. Oh, no. Shepherds were tending their sheep in the open air, usually from April to November. They'd be out in the open air. That means this, that Jesus may not have been born on December 25th. I know that's just blowing your mind, somebody. Yeah. Do you know that for the first couple hundred years, they never even celebrated Jesus' birth? They never celebrated his birth. Nobody, I think that's why, nobody kept track of it. Nobody knew, because we don't celebrate that. We didn't celebrate anybody's birth. And so about in the fourth century, from the West, Western Christians had to have a day there. So they thought the 25th of December would be good. And so we've been doing it ever since on the 25th of December. But he probably wasn't born then. But the thing I think is important is that we're celebrating a time when we know that God in heaven became flesh and dwelt on the earth so that he could understand what it feels like to walk on this dirt, what it feels like to go through all of the hardships and problems, to toil the ground, pull the weeds, to work hard, to understand that there's difficulties and problems and everything doesn't go right. And things bust and things break. And then you have heartache and you have pain and you cry and you moan and you hurt and you laugh and you cheer and you enjoy. He knows you very, very well. He's been there. That's an amazing thing. He knows what it's like to be tempted. He knows what it's like to stand strong. In verse 9. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Lord, the glory of the Lord shone around them. I mean, something that's kind of uncommon. It was very supernatural. It was an amazing thing. I hope they have them on a VHS up there. And they were greatly afraid. Greatly afraid. Not just afraid, greatly afraid. I'm looking at this, and they don't get it all. They don't understand everything that's happening. I think that's our life as well. We don't understand everything that's happening, and we get afraid of things and decisions we have to make, and we worry about this or worry about that, and will we have enough money here, and should we do that, or should we change that, or should we move here, or should we do... There are just so many things that go into us that we just wonder. We get afraid, and I wrote this down. It is possible to be greatly afraid and smack dab right in the center of God's will. We think, oh, I'm afraid, so this must not be God. It might just be God. Right in the middle of, I'll tell you what, if I would have lived for comfort, I never would have preached my very first message, because I was scared. If I were living for comfort, I wouldn't have got up here today. I'm always nervous. But I feel better obeying God than obeying my fear. Verse 10. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid. It's easy for you to say. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Hey, it's not bad coming down. It's good coming down. We've got good news. Something great is going to happen. The word joy here means cheerfulness, calm delight. For some people, they like calm delight. Your personality just, if you're going to be delighted, you go, This is my happy face. I mean, you are that calm delight. Yes, if we're going to be joyful, let's just do it in a calm, delightful way. And there's the other people who, delight has a whole different word. Oh! I mean, it's just everything out of the box, right? It's here it means calm delight, calmly happy or well off. We're going to have something great's happening. I got this great news. And he goes on to say, which will be to all people. This news that we're telling you about the birth of Christ, this news is for everyone from everywhere for all time. It will benefit from this news. Everyone is going to benefit from this news. Everyone is going to benefit from this act. Everyone's going to benefit from the announcement that we're giving you right now. Everyone, it's for everybody. For there will be born to you. And I just stopped at this for a moment. I thought, what an interesting way to say it. For there is born to you. Normally people say, well, born to Phil and Carrie was Creighton Vance. We say, we have a child's name that was born to you. We don't say that Creighton Vance was born to Tom Weaver. I'd be saying, Tom, what happened? What? We don't say that, right? So it's kind of funny to say, hey, this kid is born to Joseph and Mary. For unto you is a baby. Is this baby born to Joseph and Mary? And they're going to give him to the... No. It says that this child is born to you. It's born to you. It's born. Jesus here is born to everyone. Everyone has a stake in this Jesus. He's born. He is for everyone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for everyone. He died for everyone. He died for every miserable, every nice, miserable, ugly, awful, whatever you consider yourself. He died for you because you needed it. Everyone. Everyone has a stake in Jesus. For there is born to you this day in the city of David. And what city is that? And what does Bethlehem mean, Thomas? If you went through the drive-through, you found that out. And he also did a survey, did sweet dough or anti-sweet, sourdough, right? Sourdough or anti-sweet, is that what you said? Yeah, so they knew what it should be, right? Amen. Amen. This day in the city of David in Bethlehem is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The Lord here, a title for God, supreme. Wait a second. God, now think about all this now. I mean, we have the benefit of understanding the whole story. Think about it. Okay, God is going to be born, but I thought he already was, and now he's going to be born, and born means you come into life, and so I don't get it. God's going to be born, but I'm lost here. I don't understand this. I'm not even sure, and again, I don't know this for a fact, but I don't even know if everybody knew when the Messiah was coming. They knew a Messiah was coming, but was this Messiah all God? Was this a Messiah going to be all human, all God, like Jesus? I don't think anybody understood. They knew he was going to deliver us from our sins. This Messiah is going to come. But what would he be like? Oh, he's going to be like a little baby. This little baby's going to grow up. Going to be really smart. Going to know lots of stuff. He's going to confound people when he talks to them and teaches. He's going to grow up. He's going to have 12 disciples. Have 12 followers, going to follow him everywhere. He's going to teach things that are profound, that are just, they're just head scratching. He's going to change lives. He's going to have people just, he's going to heal people. He's going to raise people from the dead. He's going to do so much. Ah, that's who this is. This Savior is going to be God himself, but he's going to be born. How does that work? He's already, well, we know that the Word became flesh. We get it, but I wonder what it was like for them trying to understand these concepts of what was going on. That's why when they're following Jesus, he's the Messiah. But what did that mean? Then Messiah died. Oh, but they didn't get it. He's, oh God, oh. I think it was an evolving process in their understanding to try to even figure him out that we just take for granted right now. This Savior is going to come. This deliverer is what the word means. So it comes from the word sozo, which means salvation, deliver, protect, safe. It means to rescue, to save. Christ means the anointed or the Messiah. This Savior is coming. He's been promised for thousands of years. And he's here. Thousands of years, and he's here. What a celebration. He's now been born to you. Born to you. I loved our shepherds, the Fitzgerald kids, Liam and Judah and Jason Cox, doing the shepherd scene. It's one of my favorites. There's, of course, I think all of them are my favorite, but I just love this. Can you show it up here again?
It was amazing. An angel of the Lord appeared to us.
And he said that the Messiah, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords has finally come.
And then a whole host of angels appeared, and they said,
Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill towards men.
Go on ahead of us, see the Messiah.
I love that. Jason, there's nobody who could play that part. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I mean, it's just like, what a voice, man. I love it every time he's out there just proclaiming that. It's absolutely incredible. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And I thought, why is that a sign? I mean, we swaddled babies all the time. They get swaddled in clothing and, you know, kind of tight and all that. Why would this be a sign? You're going to go and find this kid and you're going to find him. He's in swaddling clothes. Okay, well, that's about all the babies here. Oh, it's going to be a little different. How's that? Whose house will he be in? Oh, well, he's going to be in a manger. Oh, okay. And we sing the song, Away in a Manger, no crib for a bed. A manger. It means a crib for fodder. Fodder is food, especially dried hay or feed for cattle and other livestock. It means a box or crib where animals feed. It's a feeding trough. Now, that's a little out of the ordinary. We just had our baby. Oh, move the slop for the horse and the cows. Let's just put them right here. Yeah, that's a great spot. It's the only spot they had. He gave birth on the dirt. His crib was in the dirt. He's got some hay, and I don't know if you've ever seen like feeding troughs. If you've gone to the west side and you drive through and you get on the other side of Othello, and you see just thousands of cows, and they're all got their heads through the little fence there, and they're all eating out of this feeding trough. Manure everywhere and all that stuff. And then we take Jesus and go, hey, move, cow. And there's, that's a nice spot. And no crying he make? Man. The only benefit to him being there is when he had a poopy diaper, nobody knew. Is that what you would want for your son? To be treated like that. God designed it. And he put him right in the dirt from once we were created. I just blown away with the humility of our God toward us. The humility of our God for us. And we can't get down on our bend our knee. We can't submit ourselves to him. We can't bow down. We can't sing. We can't prostrate. We can't give glory to a God who was so humble to us. I got to keep going here. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, which is a large heavenly army, praising God and saying, and angels here are messengers of God. They're proclaiming something. They're proclaiming God's will. And here's what he's proclaiming. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what they're declaring. That's the good news here. The word glory is doxa. It means to speak of something as being unusually fine and deserving honor, to praise. We're saying glory to God. What we're saying is, God, that was awesome. That was amazing. What you're doing here is absolutely incredible. That's what it means to give him glory, is to tell him how awesome he is. And all of the glory goes to God. What God did was awesome. He sends Jesus, who's going to be God incarnate, or he's going to be God, who's incarnate in flesh and come down to the earth and live with us. This is mind-blowing. This is incredible what he's doing. He's divine and he becomes human. All God, all man. He puts on this human aspect. The word highest here, glory to God in the highest, it means the supreme. You see, there will never be anything, no event, no person that will top God. There will never be anything, no event, no person that will top what Jesus did for mankind. It is the ultimate mic drop. Nobody can top what he's done. I don't care what you do. It will never, ever be topped. The greatest event that's ever happened. No wonder they're singing glory to God in the highest. Glory to the heavens. Peace on earth. The word peace means prosperity. Quietness, rest, to be set at one again. God and sinner reconciled. We're at one again. Peace. Peace. What's peace? Peace is quietness, like the Dykes have when all of the children go to bed. And the twins are both asleep at the same time. Ah, it's like heaven. Heaven, we're in heaven. We're in heaven right now. Enjoy it. It won't last for long. Peace. Peace. Peace on earth. Let me give you my concluding thoughts. When I think about peace on earth, in John 14:27, it says, Jesus said this, "Peace I leave you, I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Jesus' peace is not like the world's peace. I want world peace. That's not the peace of Jesus. The world's peace is based on circumstances. Jesus' peace is based on his presence. No Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, no peace. In Philippians 4:7, it says this, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." This peace on earth that surpasses our understanding. We don't understand it. Jesus' peace is not intellectual, it's spiritual. It's not understood in the mind, it's understood in the spirit. Jesus' peace is not understandable. It's just known. You know when you have it in the midst of all the conflict, all the disarray, all of the pandemic. Peace. The past is, that's what he came for. Peace on earth. Goodwill, right relationship. Man to man, man to God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for sending us, Jesus. It's a little baby. Oh, God, we've taken care of our kids so much better than it seemed like you provided for Jesus. It was tough on them, but you know what? It didn't matter. You wanted the world to know the humility that you, God, who's in the heavens, what you went through for us, so that you could easily ask, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Lord, we need you so much during this time, and we pray. Father, I pray for all of the people, all the 2,700 people that went through that drive-thru nativity. I pray peace upon them, Lord, but that they would know the peace that passes all understanding, the peace that comes from Christ. Lord, all of those that are saved, let them have a fresh awakening of the peace that's been given to them in Christ. Those that aren't saved, Lord, we pray for divine intervention upon all of them now, that they would find Jesus Christ and that they would find the peace, that they'd go back to this drive-thru nativity and say, that's what I need. I need that. Jesus came to give that to me, to give us peace on earth. Oh God, I fall on my knees and I ask you to come into my life and I receive the peace that you bring. Oh God, we want you to save our city. Help us to be your mouthpiece to communicate it. Peace on earth because of Jesus. We love you. And everybody said, amen. Hey, well, God bless you, everyone. I know a lot of the students are already home and all that. And I know some of the rest of you here are going to be taking off. And we just pray God's abundant blessing and peace be upon you as well. As you go home, let that peace, that Christ that's in you, cause there to be a difference inside of you so that when you relate with family and friends, they know something's different and they ask you, hey, what's the deal? Christ is alive and well, and his peace is inside of me. I tell people, you know, don't sleep in until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Maybe get up one of those days early and do the dishes and cause your parents to go, what has gotten into you? Well, I can tell you his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. And also have fun. Enjoy your break. And we'll look forward to seeing you all back. And just know this, as I said, Pastor Carrie and I, it's our greatest privilege in life is to be your pastors. And we pray all of you that you would enjoy the peace that Jesus came to bring. We love you. God bless.